And I know that some of you may have somewhere to go, and they might be a rotisserie chicken somewhere on the oven that you might need to pick up on the way home. I don't know. You never know. But I do want to share something that is on my heart today, and good to see my buddy CR come in. I missed him a lot, and I know he's still in recovery, if you will, from Stella passing, and we love you, buddy. I want you to know that today. Amen. Well, I guess today I don't want to put a damper on the Spirit. I don't want to put a damper on anything. When you feel like the Lord lays something on your heart, you kind of just got to roll with it. So Wednesday night, I told those that are able to be here on Wednesday night about the message I preached, and then we preached on the love of God, and we preached on the topic that we preached about then. And I keep a log of everything that I do. We talked about love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The message that I almost preached, even though I didn't have it ready to preach, I told you that, wasn't hardly there with it. Nahum, I'm not there with that. I've been doing that on Wednesday night as well, and we talked about the book of Habakkuk. But yet there's something on my heart that the Lord just wouldn't let me go of. And you know what? We used to hear it preached in the church a lot, and I'm not trying to go back to what we did and necessarily in even an era that maybe we done. I don't know. We can talk about some of those things a little bit. But I want to read something to you because I think it's important. I think it's very important. We are a church of God. We're different. I realize that, than a lot of other denominations. You've seen that around the altar today. You need to come pray, you come pray. You need to say a hallelujah, you say hallelujah. As long as things are done decently and in order, we're good. But there's some things I believe that we need to look at, and I think that we need to continue to preach. And when you look into the declaration of faith of the Church of God, we don't talk much about that. I don't even talk about it much from the pulpit. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. But it seems like if you don't talk about it, then people don't know. And then somewhere in the journey, we move away from what's called doctrinal commitments. Things that we're committed to. Things that are the non-negotiables, if you will, in a Christian's life. In our lifestyle. And I know that I walk a tightrope, and I know that I walk a very thin line when I'm getting ready to tell you what I'm going to preach about today. Because I really believe that it could be misinterpreted and misunderstood very easily. And that's why I sometimes struggle to do some of the things I do. So the name of this message today is simply this: holiness. God's plan for man. Because when you look in the declarations of faith for the Church of God, article number 7 of the Declaration of Faith is that holiness is to be the standard of living for God's people. But yet too many times we only associate holiness with what we wear, what we don't wear, what we do, or what we don't do. Now, that is a part of holiness. Because when I grew up, I used to have a little phrase that went through the church. I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't run with those who do. You can laugh, it's okay. We're not in a mortuary, we're okay. But there was a concept that we lived a life of holiness. Wasn't a question. But somehow or another, we only associated holiness with only certain things that we did or we didn't do in the church of God. I learned, and Sandra, you did too, I learned what we did not do way before I ever learned about what I did do or what I could do. So that in and of itself, we kindly left a, let me use the terminology that I would use here this morning. We kindly left a bad taste in people's mouth because it oftentimes spilled over to an attitude or an aura, if you will, of being holier than thou. Anybody ever heard that terminology? But in all reality, God, in truth, has called you and I out of darkness into this, the Bible says, this marvelous light. And God, even in our society today, in 2022, requires that His people be a sanctified people, that His people be a holiness people, that they be a set apart people, if you will. When we look at Peter, we look at the scripture, and we begin to understand why Peter wrote what Peter wrote. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. We see this in verse number 13, where the Bible teaches us, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. How many of you know that's where the devil's playground is? That's where the devil likes to play havoc, is in our mind. So that's the first thing that Peter begins to address here. So he tells us, gird up the loins of your mind, which again, that means to, in the best way I can understand it, is pull it together. I don't know about you, but somebody talks about the wandering mind, how that the mind goes off in another era or something of that nature, and we allow our minds to go where our minds should not go. Peter said, now he's talking to Christians, he's talking to the people of God. So if you're going to be holy, he says, be holy in your mind. That's where the church of God goes further and says that we need to adhere to certain things, such as watching things and seeing things and doing things, listening to things that would corrupt our minds. Now, what's wrong with that? There's not a, I almost said cotton picking thing. Country boy about come out in me there for a minute. There's nothing wrong with girding up the loins of your mind, keeping your mind holy before God. Peter addresses this in the very first thing in verse 13. Let your mind, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Think about pure things. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in Philippians 4. Think about pure things, wholesome things, holy things, honorable things. So he says, if we're going to be holy, we got to be holy in our minds. Then he says, if we're going to be sober, which means again, it means again to, I know what sober means. It means to be not drunken, but it also means to be serious-minded, if you will. Now, I do know that there are those people that are so serious-minded that if they smiled, it would crack their face. It would hurt. They've not smiled in so long. I don't think that's really what he's talking about here. But I do believe the things of God, where in our world today that we have almost gone to a place in our society today where that there is nothing wrong and there's nothing that anybody wants to be told is right or wrong, but for the church. Let me just take a tag right here for just a second. Let me just take a pause. And the reason I say that is because one of the reasons is because when we said this the other day and we was talking about this, I lost my thought. I'll get it later. But he says to be sober and to be hope for that end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, you've got to hold on to the end. You may not see the purpose of this right now. You may not see everything come into fruition right now. But my friend, God says in His Word through the Apostle Peter that you've got to live a holy life. A life that is separated. A life that is dedicated. A life that is usable, if you will, for God. We used the terminology years ago in the Church of God. We used this term sanctification. Sanctification. Now, again, that's all throughout the Word of God. And there are other words that also mean the same thing. Now, watch this. He says in the Word, verse number 14, he says, as obedient children, here it is, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. What does that mean? Before you ever came to the knowledge of the gospel, you and I, we were ignorant to the gospel. We were darkened to the gospel. But now you've been enlightened. So therefore, he says in the Word, do not fashion yourself as a Christian the way you did before you were a Christian. Simply to me, now this is me. If you want to preach this message later, you preach it your way. But this is the way I feel. I feel like that there needs to be not a holier than thou attitude, not that I'm any better than anybody else, because I'm not. But I believe as it comes to spirituality, when it comes to spiritual application, we are not supposed to live like the world. We are children of God. We are to be separated. We are to be set apart. We're not supposed, the Bible even tells them, and I'll get into that a little bit later on, but the Bible says that we are to be sanctified. We are to be set apart. Again, when you think about this whole issue of what Peter was saying, as obedient children, fashioning yourself in a manner that brings glory and honor and praise unto God. And then he said in verse 15, when you begin to look at it, now this is very interesting because of what the Word says. He says, but as he which hath called you is holy. They sang about it earlier. God is holy. God is pure. Would God not want his people to be pure? Matthew 5 and 8, you don't need to turn there, but he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean, preacher? That just simply means to be sanctified. Sanctified again is again, it's a very, if you begin to look at sanctification, there's a lot of study on it, a lot of reading on it, and there's a lot of stuff we can learn from it. But in the very infancy of the understanding of what sanctification is, you know this better than me. It is a setting apart. It is a setting apart to make usable. In other words, you become an instrument for God. God sets you apart. He designates you. He sets you apart from the world. You think, well, does there any biblical evidence of that? Is there any biblical proof that God even did that all throughout the Scripture and even during the Old Testament time? Oh, yeah, I thank you so much for asking, because you can look at the Word of God and you can very well see that God, even in the very, very, the Old Testament, the priest of the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to take the time and read it. It is about 20 verses or 25 verses. I'm not going to take the time to read all that. You can write it down. It's Leviticus 21, and I understand that is the Old Testament. But the principle of the matter is simply this, that God required the priest to be separated. He required them to be set apart before he could even use them. He required them. You can read the whole thing in Leviticus 21. And again, I'm not going to take the time to turn there and read all that, but I do want to read part of it. If you'll excuse me for just a moment while I find it, because I don't want to read all of it, but I do want to read part of it. So Leviticus 21, it'll open up there, and it talks about the holiness of the priest. And it goes all the way through there, and it talks about what the priest is to do and what the priest is not to do. But one of the verses, I forgot to write it down and indicate it, but it says that he is not to defile himself in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Not supposed to defile himself. Now again, I know that's the Old Testament. But what about the camp of Israel? Again, when you think about the people of Israel, there's a lot of reading on that as well, because he teaches us again in Leviticus chapter number 20. This is when the law was being given to the children of Israel. He comes back in verses number 7 and 8, and this is what he says. Let me go back to verse number 6, and this again is talking about Moloch, and it talks about those that worship the gods of that day. God told them not to be participators with them. And don't do what those people done. And again, when I thought about this while ago, and I forgot about it, but now I remembered it again. But when you think about our world today, please hear what I'm getting ready to say. I said it Wednesday night, and I want to say it again today. We're wringing our hands, and we're fretting over what's going on in the world. Oh, the world's this, and the world's that. Hey, can I tell you something? I'm going to help you right here. The world is the world is the world is the world. The world will always be the world. There's always going to be evil. There's always going to be shootings. There's always going to be murders. There's always going to be all the ugly things that I could go down a list and name. But here's the thing. The Bible warns you and I not to participate in other men's sins. I'm talking to the Christians. The world's always going to be the... Well, what does that mean to you and I today? When God used the priest, Brother Steve, He sanctified the priest. He called the priest out. He told them not... I mean, there's a list that long in Leviticus 21. I mean, it's that... And told them, do not do this. If you're going to be used of God, you cannot be involved in this lifestyle. You cannot do these things. And the reason I said that is because the world's always going to be the world. I don't want to be so wrapped up in the world that I lose out what God wants to do. And that is where God is calling the church back to a sanctifying experience. And God is calling you and I to be holy. I'm no better than nobody else. But I sure enough do want to please God. I sure enough do want to live holy. I sure enough do want to please Him. And the Bible told Israel, when you look at this in Leviticus chapter number 20, He tells them very plainly in verse number 6, He says, the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, after wizards, King James says here, to go a whoring after them, I will set my face against that soul. What are you saying, preacher? God says this. He said, I will set my face against them. God's not going to participate in that. And again, we say, oh, grace, grace, grace. I believe in grace. I believe in grace. But grace is not there to allow you to sin. Romans 6 says that. May we sin that grace may abound. What did Paul say? Paul said, God forbid. Yes, grace is there, but grace is not a permission for you and I to sin. It's not let me see how much I can do. Oh, to see how much I can get by with. Oh, that, no, no, my friend. No, 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 no. I want to see, Brother Robert, how close I can live to God and how pure I can live to God and how sanctified I can live to God and how pure. Why? Because I want God to be pleased with me. I'm not interested in the world and what the world has to offer me. Oh, hallelujah, anyhow. But He says, I will set my... And I will cut them off. You say, well, that's Old Testament, preacher. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Go back and read the final pages of the book of Revelation. Even though it's beautiful as it is in the first part of Revelation 21... But the latter part of Revelation 21, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but it talks about the whoremonger, and it talks about all those that commit evil and wicked and murder, said that they will not have their part in heaven, but they will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. I didn't write it, folks. So again, when you think about what He says here to Leviticus, verse number 7 says this, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy. Sanctify, in other words, God has given you the mind and the will to do something about what you're doing. Now, I'm going to get a few people mad at me right here. I ain't pointing fingers. I ain't saying nothing bad. I'm just simply preaching. Somebody says, oh God, help me today. Help me, Holy Ghost. Whew, I'm going to get in trouble. I know I am before I even do it. Years ago, I heard Alice Davis preaching this message. She's passed away and went on to glory. I was but a young man. This man was a smoker. There's other sins besides smoking. Gossip is just as bad as smoking. And other things that I could get into that I ain't got time to get into right now. But she said that this man said, God, if you want me to quit smoking, I'm going to leave my cigarettes in my shirt pocket at the end of the bed, hanging on the bed rail. And God, if you don't want me to smoke no more, you take those cigarettes out of my pocket through the night. And when I get up in the morning, if they're gone, I won't smoke no more. Guess what? He got up the next morning and they were still there. You remember that, don't you? You were sitting there with me. God says, sanctify yourself. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. I knew, Stanley, when I started preaching this message, I was going to get in trouble today. Well, we don't want to hear stuff like this. We don't want to hear people talking about, you know, living right and sanctifying ourselves. And come, I'm going to tell you something, friend. This is the heartbeat of, you may not know me that well, but I cut my teeth on holiness. I cut my teeth living right. And you say, well, preacher, we're way beyond that. No, we're not way beyond that. People today will tell you that it's not necessary to even live holy anymore. But I submit unto you today, it is just as imperative that we live holy today, if not more so, than all the days that we've ever lived. That not live for the world and by the world and at the world, but yet sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify God. Set God apart. Set your life apart. Get on the right path. Follow a right path. Oh, God said to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. You say, well, what has that got to do with everything? Well, he told Israel. He told the priest, you got to live a separate life. He told Israel. He said, hey, look in this verse. He says, verse number 7. He says, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Now look, verse number 8. He says, and you shall keep my statutes and do them, and I am the Lord which sanctify you. Again, he set them apart. Sanctification, when you begin to look at the definition of the sanctification act of what God said in the Word, we look at it as being a separation. It's a dedication. It's a separation from, but yet it's a dedication to. When I begin to look at this again with the definition and all the stuff that I've looked at, one of the things that I understood, you cannot legislate holiness. What does that mean? It means that you cannot dictate or make it into law. Why? Because holiness, true holiness, is something that happens in your heart. Men can tell you, and ladies, men can pick on you. Hey, I loved my granny, and my granny had a PhD, Pentecostal hairdo. And just because my granny had a PhD, it had nothing to do with the fact of whether she was holy or not. You can have a PhD, and I love what John Hagee said. He said you can dress like you just got off the wagon train, honey. He said, and you can look everything just like it's supposed to look, but you can have a tongue that long, and you can do more damage with your tongue than you can ever do with your dress. Come on, somebody. I remember John Hagee saying that. I remember a friend of mine. I'll go ahead and name his name. He's fine. He's Pastor Russell Morris over at, up in the Burlington area, up that way. He said one time, now, Brother Morris grew up around Old Fort, North Carolina. And his grandmother was old-timey holiness. He said one time he was in a restaurant. He said this woman said, look just like a holiness woman. Look just like a holiness woman. He said, oh, he was so inspired by what he saw. He wanted to talk to her. Sandra, he went up and talked to her and said, oh, what church do you go to? Where do you go to church? And she said, I don't know who you are, but I don't even go to church. He was shocked because it all appeared to be what it's supposed to be. Holiness comes out of here. Not that blood pumping heart, but the inner part of a soul. It comes from an earnest desire to serve God and to love Him and to dedicate yourself to Him. Sanctification is God's will for our lives today. When you look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, it talks about that. The word is related to the word again. When you think about the word saint. Both words have to do with holiness. He says there in the scripture, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's only one verse that we pick where it said that this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, it's setting apart. When you think about it, to sanctify something means to set it apart for a special use. To sanctify a person means to make them holy. Jesus, I'm going to have to wrap it up here shortly. I can pick back up tonight, God willing. But we can see here again, because there's plenty more preaching in here, trust me. But we see here again, Jesus, you say, well, what did Jesus say about sanctification? John 17, Jesus talked to the disciples, and he talked to them in verse number 16 and 17. And this is what he says, that Jesus spoke of sanctification. Again, by definition, it's a state of separation unto God. It's a dedication. I don't want to backpedal, but to keep that there for a minute. I don't want to backpedal too far because I missed it. If you go back in, and we're not going to go there, Kathy, but if you go back into Exodus 25 and 26, all the utensils of the tent of meetings, every instrument that was used in the tent of meetings, Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness, every one of those in Exodus 25 and 26. Nothing could be used in that tabernacle of meetings, if you would, that was not given to God and sanctified. How in the world do you and I think that God could use you and I today if you and I are not willing to live a sanctified life unto God? Think about it. A sanctification that comes from God. It is a setting apart. It is a setting apart. It's been used of the Master. It's been chosen of the Master. Again, there's plenty of things I'm not going to have time to get to right now this morning. But Jesus tells us the greatest way to be sanctified right here. Now, I'm going to work through this for just a second or two, and I'll be done here in a little bit. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Next verse. Sanctify them through thy truth. That's an interesting word. Truth. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through the truth. Now, I don't know what's going on in our world today, but I do believe there could possibly be a lack of truth in the world today. But he says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. You know, Paul told Timothy. He told Timothy, and I don't have the scripture written down, it's over in 1 Timothy. But he said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's the sanctifying power of God. There's the sanctifying power of God is His Word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The written Word, the Logos, the written Word. And we see this, and again, it's a state of separation. Somebody says, well, Pastor, if I get good and sanctified, I'll have to give up so many things in the world that I don't even know if I can make it in the world anymore. This is a truth. When you fall in love with Jesus, the things of the world that's got a grip on you right now, they won't mean a hill of beans to you. They won't mean nothing to you. The Scripture admonishes us to love not the world, neither the things in the world. He says, if any man love the world, that the love of the Father is not in him. And He teaches us that we're to set our affections on things above. Set your heart on Him. 1 Peter in this text today, again, I barely scratched the surface of this. When 1 Peter, we read this, we read it all the way down through verse number 16. And it says, because it is written, be ye holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, and you're sojourning here in fear. Now watch this. How am I sanctified? Even though Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10 talks about that. In a nutshell, Peter talks about it right here. He says in verse number 18, he says, "For as we know that we were not redeemed," I like that word, "with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers." Now, what does that mean? You're not redeemed by keeping all the rules and laws and regulations. And I know that I may be a little bit different when it comes to just doing something for the sake of doing it because it's the way we've always done it. I can't always do things the way we've always done things, but there is a standard of living for God's people, and that is holiness. So everything that we need, that we do, whether it's in the church or out of the church, whatever we do, it all needs to be done with a holiness concept. You say holiness or legalism? I'm not interested in legalism, because legalism ain't going to save nobody. Matter of fact, legalism ain't going to do nothing but drive people away. I was paid one of the greatest compliments this morning. I've already said this one time, I'm going to say it again. Was Betty. You don't know how that hit my heart. It says there's so much love here. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Can I tell you that? And please don't misunderstand my heart, because I know my own heart and I don't want to say nothing wrong. But there is nobody, nobody, nobody likes a grumpy, old, hateful, rude Christian. You say, "That's not what I'm going to be when I grow up." And the only thing I can say is hallelujah. Is because the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good work." Sanctification, I wanted to quit a while ago, and here I am on another whole part of it. Sanctification has everything to do with what we do, our works, and what we do for Him. It has not only to do with our lifestyle and the way we conduct ourselves. You know, I just want to be what Jesus wants me to be. Live for Him. Let me finish this up right here. How are we sanctified? He tells us in verse 19, and he reminded us in verse 18 that it's not the things of this world that sanctifies you. It's not the things of this world that's made you holy. Primarily talking to the Jews. But in verse number 19, he says this. How are we sanctified? Real easy. We're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood. It's His blood that makes us holy. Hello? Him. It's Jesus that makes us holy. Not me, myself, and I. But it's because of what Jesus has already done. I'll get into it tonight, maybe, if I feel led to go that direction. But I'll tell you, it's over in Hebrews chapter 9 primarily. If you want to write that down, you can go read that later. Because Peter was saying basically the same thing they were saying in Hebrews. Look at this, and then I'm done. But with the precious blood of Jesus, as a lamb without spot, or without blemish rather, and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Again, you can't do this justice in 20 minutes. Let me go back for a minute. I'm reminiscing. I'm like Tim Hill today. I reminisce a lot. Now, some of you that's been in this church for 45, 50 years, Thomasville Church of God, you got to remember the rest of us have not been. 60, now I got a 70. 60, now 70. 75, 80. 95, 100. 75? Sorry, I have to put a little humor in there. Everybody don't know what it means to be sanctified. Everybody don't know the history of the Church of God. And if we ain't careful, we'll send the wrong signals to people. But Brother Robert, you know this as well as me. We'd get saved, And man, they would hammer on you. Oh, you got to get sanctified. You got to, or you, have you been sanctified yet? I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Oh, you can't get the Holy Ghost till you're sanctified. And I do believe that. And you know the story. You know what we went through at the time. And Sister Reva, I just, oh God, sanctify me, sanctify me. Oh God, sanctify me. I had the round can disease. I don't know if y'all have ever had that or not. I had the round can disease. I'd get a dip and spit and cry and throw it. I gave a can of Skoal to a preacher one night at the Clyde Church of God, and he liked to have a heart attack. What am I supposed to do with that? I said, throw it in the toilet. I don't want it. It's a process. Grow into grace and the knowledge. But you know what? There was a time in my life. I won't bore you with the whole story. There was a time in my life on a Wednesday night at the Mountain View Church of God that I truly got sanctified. That's why I believe it's a definite act of grace. It's a time that God says, come here, Stanley, if you don't care. This is Stanley Bowers, my buddy. This is a time when God picks up Stanley, and Stanley's right here, and he says, Stanley, I'm going to set you in a new place. I'm going to put you right here. And now that I've got you right here sanctified really good, I'm going to start using you as a vessel that is set apart for me. While Stanley, sorry if I'm embarrassing you, while you're over here, you're still doing what Stanley wants. But God says, I don't want to do you the way Stanley wants to do it. I want to do it the way God wants. Stanley says, okay, I'm yielding to you, God. I give myself to you, God. And when God sanctifies him and sets him apart, it is then that Stanley becomes the candidate for God to use the way he wants to use them. That happened to me on that Wednesday night. It was about the altar. Thank you, Stanley. It happened at the altar at the Mountain View Church of God. I struggled, folks. I struggled for years with tobacco. I struggled with Levi Garrett. I'd switch over to Red Man, and it was just as bad addictive as Levi Garrett. I thought, maybe if I just switch brands, I don't know. And then, you know, I struggled. I was trout fishing with Sherry's brother, Terry, at the time, and Terry was dipping Skoal on the riverbank. Come on, somebody. Oh, I was walking down the road there at the campground. I'm going, oh, my God, put it up. Put it up. Fishing pole in hand, put it up, put it up, put it up. Terry said, you want a dip? Well, yeah, I do, matter of fact. Hey, guess what? I'm missing the teeth to prove it. God finally said, okay, Alan, if you're going to be used to me, I want to sanctify you. I want to set you apart. I mean, folks, instantly, after Louise, I had struggled for so long. Years. I used to be a welder, and I'd take Levi Garrett. I remember stopping at the convenience store and buying me a big old pouch of Levi Garrett. Oh, I wanted that more than anything. Took a chew of it and cried all the way from Canton to Asheville, chewing that tobacco and spitting. I did, truth. Got out of my truck, Brother West, and I took it and I threw it as hard as I could throw it down over the bank, struggling. In the struggle. Now, this don't make a lot of sense to nobody in this room, probably, but it makes a lot of sense to me. We're wrestling with the flesh. We're wrestling with this thing. And I'm saying, God, I want you to use me. And God said, I'll sanctify you. And on that Wednesday night, after the long story of other things that would happen, God miraculously, and that's why I believe that the church still needs to be sanctified, set apart. You say, well, I think that's legalism, and I think that we get too legalistic. No. There is people that get legalistic. I'm not going to doubt that. I'm not going to doubt that at all. But I do believe that God wants to sanctify His church. And it's not prideful. It's not arrogance. It's not me being better than anybody else. It's me having such a desire to please God that I want to just draw myself close to Him. One more thing, real fast. Do you know that when the holiness movement started, Like a Mighty Army in the Church of God history. Read it. The women that started the hairdos and the men that done all the things the men did, when they done that, they didn't do that to start a tradition. They didn't even do it to make people argue over hair and makeup and jewelry. It was the fact that they wanted to be so separated from the things of the world that they didn't even want to be identified with the things of the world. Now, is jewelry going to make you go to hell? I hope not. I'm going to miss it. If I is. But if I had, oh God, don't let me preach this. I don't want to preach this. If I had rings on my toes and my ears and all of that, and I loved it and I worshiped it more than God, I think it could be an issue. I'm in trouble, aren't I, Pauline? Anyway, God bless you. Stand with me. You say, you've been rambling for an hour, preacher. Well, sometimes you need to ramble, I guess. Streets of gold. Thank you, Sherry, for reminding me. Streets of gold, pearls in heaven. God's got a whole lot more than we don't know everything that's up there. But on a serious note, in a world that we're living in today, and it seems like the world is just going further and further and further and further and further into wickedness. Can I admonish you today? Don't let that tear your nerves up. It's going to happen. It says it in the Word of God. It's going to happen. Be more concerned about your own sanctification. Be more concerned about your own spiritual life. Keep yourself pure before God. Amen? The world's going to be the world. But we need to be pure before God. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, today for thy word is truth. God, I know today that this was challenging. And Lord, I know that you've laid it on my heart, God, that we dedicate ourselves to you more than we've ever dedicated ourselves in all of our days. And God, I know that there will be those today that would not receive this message because they love the world and the things of the world. But God, you've told us in the scripture to come out and to be separated, Lord. And we'll look at that a little later. But God, keep your people pure and keep your people holy. Keep our motives right, God. Keep our speech right, Lord. Keep our attitudes right, God, because that's as much of holiness as anything else. How we treat one another's holiness. How we act in public as holiness. How we represent you, God, in all that we endeavor to do. God, it's not just the rules and regulations and the do's and the don'ts. It's having a lifestyle that pleases you. A lifestyle that lifts you up. It's a lifestyle that edifies you, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would take Thomasville, your people, God, here today. Not in a prideful manner or an egotistical manner, but God, in a manner that'll bring praises to you, Lord, that people will see us and they'll know that we're people of God and people of faith. That God, that we would do the things in our life that would bring praises unto you. And God, I pray for a sanctifying power of God to move on this place. Move on people's hearts. Lord, let them be willing to sanctify themselves and come hungry after you, God, on a day-to-day basis. And Father, we know, God, today that you're in our midst. And Father, we love you and honor and praise you. In Jesus' name. If you still love the preacher, say amen. And if you don't, say oh me. God bless you. I'll see you after a while at 6 o'clock. Amen.